Monday, April 25th, 2016, meeting of the Terry Township Board of Supervisors. Would everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joe, may I please have the roll call?
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member John Foley.
Here.
Chairman Mark Moran.
Here. I'd like to announce that the Board of Supervisors met before this evening's meetings for executive session to discuss legal and personnel issues. I also want to remind everyone that although it is posted within the meeting room, those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. At this time, I would like to invite visitor and public comments. If you would like to address the board, please approach the podium, state your name, your place of residence, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your comments to no more than 3 minutes, it would be greatly appreciated. Seeing none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes from the supervisors' April 12th, 2016 meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And the minutes are approved unanimously. Under new business, I would like to start this evening's meeting with a presentation from Jay Wenger of Susquehanna Group Advisors regarding some financial consulting services that the Board of Supervisors has made some inquiries into. Mr. Wenger, please.
Good evening and thank you. I thought conversation might work a little better than paper, so I'll do the talking on the paper. With me is Mark Morgan, and just to give you a little background, I work for Susquehanna Group Advisors. We're a financial advisory firm headquartered in Harrisburg. We do work across Pennsylvania, a little bit out of state, but predominantly Pennsylvania, working with townships, boroughs, cities, counties, school districts, water authorities, sewer authorities, colleges, hospitals. Essentially anybody who fits into the rubric of tax-exempt entity or tax-exempt financing eligible. So that's our space that we operate in. We represent Dauphin County, the Dauphin County General Authority, Sotera Township, Steelton Borough, Lower Paxton Township, Central Dauphin School District. So quite a few entities locally. And then moving west, we do work across the state, as I said earlier. Mark is actually the president of Susquehanna County and Consulting Services. We were one company until Congress stepped in and said that they want to regulate everybody. And so for a lot of regulatory mandates, we have separated our company into two companies. And we just contract labor back and forth and operate really as we did, but we're two entities to make sure that we comply with all of the Dodd-Frank regulations and separate the accounting side, which Mark does, from what really is a new fiduciary standard that's imposed on us that if you ask any CPA they would say it's completely unacceptable. So we operate independently, but we work together, and it's been 15 months now that we've done this. Again, it was all done to make sure that our side complies with Dodd-Frank, but not force a fiduciary standard on a group of accountants who are doing accounting work on a day-to-day basis. I know a little bit about what you're talking about doing. We have worked, as I said, with Lower Paxton Township. As you know, they have a community center that a few years back was, I think, at a crossroads of do they keep it, do they jettison it, try to sell it to a private contractor. We helped them at least work through the numbers and try to understand how you work your way out of the predicament they were in cash flow wise. Upper St. Clair Township in the western part of the state, south of the city of Pittsburgh, has a fairly substantial community center. They spent about $30 million almost 10 years ago, kind of an out of the ground project. So it was a kind of build it and they shall come. They didn't really know how many residents would sign up, how much usage they would have. It's turned out to be a huge success, but when they started, it was one of those, we might be covering this with the general fund, and as it turned out, it's a self-sufficient project, and it's been a huge success in the community. If we were to be employed by you, Mark and I would be working together, trying to help you develop both a project plan and a plan of finance. We have some P3 experience. We worked on the Lancaster County Convention Center project several years back, which was a joint venture between a private developer, real estate developer, and the Convention Center Authority, which was established purely to build the Convention Center project. It was about an $80 million project, took the better part of 2 years from start to finish to get to a deal that everybody agreed to. It was fully funded. So again, I'm not exactly sure which direction you intend to go, but we've worked in this space enough that I believe we have the qualifications to help you do what you want to do. Mark is a CPA by training and certification, as well as some other things. And so I think we have the requisite skills. We certainly are available to help you as you start this project. Justin and I talked briefly about this. You know, my guess is, given where you are in the process and what you're trying to do and not sure where you're going to end up, probably an hourly fee arrangement would be the appropriate way to deal with this. And I say that because some of our clients want the fee embedded in the back end if there's ever a financing. But again, it's up to you. We certainly can work out the details. We're indifferent. It's really up to our clients' preference as to how they would like the payments to be made. Mark, do you want to add anything?
No, we've got extensive experience in capital budgeting, capital forecasting, capital projects, accounting, looking at the analysis, looking at the build-out, looking at the cost structures, and working with Jay, you know, basically the two parts then to finance the project and how that all becomes fruition in reality and how you fund it down the road.
We've done early intervention planning for several municipalities across the state, and you certainly don't qualify, but it's a long-term strategic plan that's intended to address government-wide operations, including fiscal and other operations by department. And the EIP plans are predominantly funded by the Commonwealth to avoid things like the city of Harrisburg having to enter Act 47. So it's intended to prevent problems. It doesn't always work, but you know, it's akin to what you're trying to do on a specific project basis.
Jay, thank you. In addition to the financial consulting, are you able to assist us in identifying revenue sources?
Well, we certainly could help with that. You know, not really knowing what the project is, you know, that's a very open-ended question. You know, if part of that is grants, the answer is yes. If part of that is trying to identify, you know, the cash flows or revenue sources that would pay for a project, we can do that as well.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
Could you talk a little bit about the Friendship Center, just kind of your experiences and what your firm was able to do?
Yeah, so they were, I think it's now 3 or 4 years ago. You know, they have some constraints there that are operationally challenging. It's a building that is big enough to do some things, but not big enough to do everything. And in a marketplace where you're competing, you know, against the for-profit operators, some of the space and services that they were missing, they were losing out to competition. And so the question is, do you try to build your way into the competition, or do you try to stay what you are, or do you try to downsize, or do you try to get rid of it? So we looked at what they were doing, how many members they had in the community, what their fees were, what kind of programs they were offering, what the downtime looked like, and then help them evaluate, you know, here's what it would cost if you said, okay, we want to add these services, and knowing that, you know, there are downtimes in that business, so you have to be prepared to have essentially dark rooms a fair amount of time and then very heavily used rooms at other times. And in the end, they kind of took a very conservative approach, which was, you know, we think we want to crawl before we walk, walk before we run. And I think they found a comfort level where they're at least sustaining the operation, but they chose the path of not trying to build out to compete with the private sector.
So how would you differentiate your firm from others who are in this space?
Well, I think the unique part of our firm is most firms in the public finance sector do almost all finance, project finance, where they really are the back end of just providing the financing for whatever the project is. Or on the other end, you get accounting firms that do just strictly accounting. We're unique in that we combine the accounting side with the consulting side to create a broader spectrum of services and a little deeper penetration into what clients need from start to finish. I don't know that you'll find many firms that do what we do they tend to isolate and specialize.
I think the Friendship Center is a good example. How did Lower Paxton approach you? They say, we have a problem with Friendship Center, and what can you do to help us?
Well, sort of, yeah. We were actually working on another project for them, and they said, oh, by the way, we're really struggling with the Friendship Center. Do you have any thoughts? And I said, yeah, we can sit down and, you know, look at what your programming is, what your staffing is, what your revenue is, what your membership is. And so they kind of gave us the raw data. We came back and said, you know, here are the obvious issues. Here are the solutions that we think address those issues. At some point, you're going to have to make a policy decision of which way you want to go. And they were, it was a point in time where borrowing more money to build out wasn't really an option for them, and they weren't crazy about getting into competing with Gold's and Planet Fitness and LA Fitness, which were all within a mile of their community center.
Anyone else?
So the engagement with Lower Paxton is sort of, or we keep saying Lower Paxton, any of the local organizations that you work with, it's just sort of ongoing.
Most of ours are, in today's world, we have to have an agreement for everything we do, but they are really open-ended, fluid engagements where we get called for any number of reasons at different points in a year or maybe skips a year. Lower Paxton, just because they've got some fairly substantial projects going on right now, we're there probably once a quarter.
Mm-hmm. And so you said your engagements are pretty specific. You do it, or do you have certain ones?
Well, under our new regulations, whatever we do for a municipality has to have a written engagement. So in that, we create a scope of services to try to address exactly what the task is, so that if anybody ever came in to examine our records, the compensation and the task would be clearly defined. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can make it open-ended, but what I find is usually when we hand a very open-ended agreement to your solicitor, they want to see a lot more detail and specificity to it. And we're happy to do whatever works. We don't, it doesn't matter that much to us. We just want to make sure we comply and you're happy with the what the engagement says we're going to do and what your expectations are.
All right. When you and I talked before, I found it interesting when we were talking about public-private partnerships and just sort of, you mentioned some of the experience you bring from Lancaster, but you mentioned something about going into the P3s, you need to be very clear about what you're getting and
yes.
the outcomes, and you want to just speak out.
Sure, yeah. So, you know, what Justin's referring to is we had a conversation about what occurred in Lancaster County and you know, as representing you, I would say you want to be very clear up front with what your expectations are, what's coming out of this project that is governmental, what you're going to be on the hook for, as well as what the private partner is going to contribute and what their economic gain is. In that particular project, because there were so many parties involved, we had the Lancaster County Historical Trust, the private developer. I think we had a half a dozen politicians all, you know, kind of with their hand in the project. Every time we thought we had an agreement on the deal, the next morning at 9 o'clock, we'd get a phone call and somebody'd say the deal changed. It's like, well, why did we meet for 8 hours? What was the point of that? My point to Justin was you just want to make sure that from the very get-go that it's clear what every side in the P3 is getting out of the transaction and what they're putting into it. Otherwise, it just keeps evolving into something that really the strongest party at the table ends up getting almost all the time. And that's what you want to avoid, because it's just a hard process to control once it gets started.
What advice would you give to a township or a municipality working with a company like yours, who's not worked with a company like yours before and getting started? Is there a time where you sit down and kind of listen to what our needs are and then you develop that scope?
How
does that get started?
Yeah, it would be very hard for us to create a scope of services that was meaningful to us and to you without having a better sense of what you're trying to do and where you would like to go with it. So, you know, I think if you're comfortable with us, we'd want to have really a round-the-table work session where we had got a better sense of exactly what it is you're going to do, who you want to work with, how you're going to lay it out, how long it's going to take, and then we can come back to you with a much better presentation of scope of services and an estimate of what we think our time involved in that would be. I mean, I could give it to you now, but it'd be pretty much shooting in the dark.
All right. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it.
If you have any questions, please let us know. We're available to talk at any time.
Thank you.
All right, great, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Turning to the first item on our agenda, A1 through 6, consideration of the release of a portion of the performance security providing for lot number 1 of the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for 777 Middletown Road, plat number 1216. Mr. Kramer, is this house again?
Yes.
All right, do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Seconded, moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? And the release is granted unanimously. Item B1 through 4, consideration of the release of a portion of the performance and security provided for lot number 2 of the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for 777 Middletown Road, plat number 1216. Again, Mr. Emmerich, is this housekeeping?
It is.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And the release is granted unanimously. Item C1 through C9, extension of the August 25th, 2015 conditional approval of the preliminary final land development plan for the East Point Trade Center, building C, plat number 1234. Mr. Emmerich.
The board may remember that this plan was originally approved in October of 2013, or some of the board may remember, Susan. Since that time, they have been trying to find a tenant for the commercial center. This is the building that's proposed over by General Mills off of Lingo Avenue. They have remained unsuccessful. The last action that the board took was to extend this plan approval consistent with the Permit Extension Act, which would have taken it to July 2nd, 2016. With no clear end in sight, the applicant has requested the extension to July 2nd, 2019 from the board. Now, they also had to request extensions of some zoning relief that had been granted, and the board, the zoning board, just at their April 20th meeting, did grant that relief.
So, in other words, we're being asked to maintain the status quo until July 2nd, 2019.
That's correct.
Very well.
I guess it's worth pointing out that the pending zoning ordinance does retain this land in the industrial use, so I don't anticipate any problems with adoption of the new ordinance. So I am recommending that the extension be granted in accordance with my items A through H listed in the agenda.
Very well. Any comments?
Is there any disadvantage to extending it all 3 years? Is this typically we do this long?
Typically, the only reason that you wouldn't is if you were having ordinances that were changing that were going to have an impact. And that's why I mentioned that I don't believe the zoning ordinance is going to have an impact. But for instance, if we were going to a more restrictive stormwater ordinance, then we might not extend it out this far.
And in conditional uses, typically how long expires?
A year.
A year, but this is going out 3 years?
Yes. Well, and some.
So why?
The applicant is here if they want to answer. If you recall, they came and actually revised the plan to being able to take this building and make two units out of it instead of the single unit to offer some flexibility in trying to lease this site or trying to rent this property. So what you see there are the two General Mills buildings that exist on the property today. And as I page through here, that's the new proposed building that's closer to Lincoln. And even though it has rail service, which isn't a commodity that everybody can offer, it's 366,000 square feet of lease area, which I guess is tough to lease.
So the reason I asked the question, if a normal conditional use is good for a period of 1 year, then why the township would we just extend it for another year? Why would we give 3 years? I guess that's what I'm asking.
That's what the applicants requested. They're expecting that even if they do get somebody interested, it may take some time. But
Council, do you want to answer Ms. Travis?
Ron Lewis, attorney with Stevens Lane, Harrisburg. The conditional use normally 1 year, but then within that time period, you're supposed to come in with your land development plan, and then you would have, township requires you to record that within 1 year of that. We do have, came in with a land development plan. Land development plan has been approved. We modified it with this to add more employee parking and ability to have two tenants, not one tenant, thinking that there may be more employees there instead of just the distribution center trucks there. But at this point, the owner of the property, which developed the other two buildings there, that was specific for General Mills. They were looking for a new facility. They wanted to stay in the Harrisburg market because of their employees, and it was specific for them. They wanted the rail access. They wanted the size they had. General Mills is not interested in additional space, so the developer has determined that, based on the market conditions, this is not a building that you can build on spec. A lot of buildings are start on spec. The lender's willing to do that, but because of the unique nature of having both truck access and rail access, it's not a spec building. It's going to be a build to suit for a tenant. Because of that, and when you have an interest from somebody, it may take them 6 months or more to enter into a lease or a purchase agreement, and then you'd have to come in and put up your security and all that. So at this point, there's nobody right on the horizon now. They're marketing it, and the anticipation is when somebody does come in, it may take a year to get a deal done. Then may take time to post security. Hopefully the tenant won't want changes made, but if they did, would need the time to come in and do that. So the 3 years was just considering the market conditions. They think they want to be safe. And talking to Chuck, there is no changes on the horizon. You're not adopting or having no plan adopting anything that would change the regulations. Keep it industrial, keep so it's a permitted use, and the standards aren't changing. So,
what sort of hardship would you envision if we say, I know you're trying to give yourself as much latitude as possible, 3 years, let's say 2 years.
Zoning Hearing Board granted 3 years.
Okay.
North Londonderry Township tonight has indicated they're going to accept the 3 years. We believe they haven't voted yet. We believe there's no opposition to that.
Right.
Well, it depends on the market conditions, entirely on that. They were hopeful that they would be able to do something before now. We would probably in a year from now be back and saying it's going to end in a year. We don't see something we're negotiating on to continue it. Would like more time. That's really where we are. Because if they were to post financial security and record the plan, then you're getting a letter of credit from a bank and telling them you're going to build the building. And that's not normal in this market condition for these large buildings. They want to keep the rail access. They think that's still significant and worth doing. General Mills does use that for their heavier products that they bring in. I don't think they use it for the cereals, but they use it for other products. So they want to keep that and not eliminate that. And that reduces the size of the building, but they think that's a market somebody will need. So we may be back in a little over a year if you give us 2 years. And that's where it is.
Thank you.
And Chris Fensel is here representing Hillwood, who actually built the first buildings and manages it for the owner, L.I.T. Pumara.
Thank you. Any questions of council? Chuck, do you envision any pitfalls of a three-year window as opposed to a lesser window? I know zoning-wise, we don't envision any sort of snafus associated with that.
I don't. I'm of the opinion this was a good project and rightly approved under our regulations. You know, the Permit Extension Act itself was extended for another three-year period. Mm-hmm. Depending on who you talk to, we haven't recovered yet.
Right.
I think this is evidence of that. We'd like this project to go when they find a tenant, and to delay it by getting reapproval of the plan would not be even in the township's best interest.
Okay. Thank you. Any further thoughts or comments? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion for the extension of the conditional approval?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and the extension is granted unanimously.
Thank you.
Item D1 through 4, consideration of the release of a portion of the performance security for the preliminary final land development plan for Country Meadows of Hershey, plat number 1251. Mr. Emmerich, is this housekeeping?
It is.
Okay. Any thoughts or comments?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, and the release is approved unanimously. This brings us to the correspondence section of our agenda. I'd like to start to my left. Ms. Court, any correspondence you'd like to share? Oh, excuse me. Yes. I omitted agenda item E1 through 2, the award of voluntary sidewalk and curb reconstruction project and bid letting. Mr. Clark, I understand that is not a timely agenda item and that you'd prefer to have that tabled. We will do so. And item F1, the request by the Downtown Hershey Association to hold its townie kickoff party in Chocolate Town Square on May 3rd, 2016 from 5 to 8:30. Ms. Umbrum, I understand the plans have changed and therefore the request is no longer applicable.
Correct.
And so therefore that will not require board action at this time.
Thank you.
Getting back to correspondence, I apologize. It's weird. And I have nothing.
I'll just say that the report on the stormwater community meeting that was on, it was at 6 p.m. on Monday, April 18th, I thought went very well. I think Matt, you said that approximately 50 people were there.
Yes.
So good questions, great presentation by HRG, and that project continues to move forward. That's all I have.
Thank you. I'd like to consolidate boards and committee information and reports, starting with our police chief.
That's anticipated, but I have one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had our open house this past weekend at the fire department, and we had a great turnout, great weather, and everybody loved our new building. Very, very happy to go through it, and we're very happy to take everybody through. We were passing out commemorative coins at the open house, and we still have some available, so if anybody's interested, I have some here that I'll be passing out.
Thank you.
You did a great job. Guiding
people. Oh, thank you. Tom?
I have nothing, thank you.
Barbara?
Thank you. I just wanted to talk more the community about the radio frequency identification system at the library is now up and running. We've been using it during the month of April, and we're about to have the self-checkout go live, as well as using your app on your phone so that you can use that instead of a physical library card, and that'll be happening very soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Cheryl?
Thank you. I'm loving this evening.
Thank you. Matt?
Just a quick reminder of the annual fishing derby scheduled for next Saturday, May 7th at 8 a.m. at Bullfrog Valley Park.
Thank you very much. Matt Bennett?
The next Stormwater Advisory Committee meeting will be on Wednesday of this week at 9 o'clock. And Lopes and Java continues to progress. They have about 80% of the pipe in for Locust and starting to do restoration up there. Hopefully we have that portion of the project completed in the next 2 to 4 weeks.
Thank you. Thanks. Any questions or comments for Matt? No? Chuck?
I want to update you on our progress with the zoning ordinance. Last Friday, a draft was released to the Planning Commission, Board of Supervisors, and some other people. That will initially be discussed at the May 3rd Planning Commission meeting and ultimately presented for a larger discussion at the June 7th Planning Commission meeting. Also, as this is the second meeting of the month, I'm going to give you an update on property maintenance initiatives. As the board's well aware, the foreclosed property ordinance was adopted April 12th. On April 13th, we forwarded the contract to Community Champions. I also told you a story at the last meeting about a property that I had in court that day. Our website is not up for Community Champions, but that property did send in a registration form and their $200 check. That property is already registered in the program. Make me smile anyway. There's three articles now that have been put in the township publications under the informed citizen. The last one was related to Penn's Woods. I actually got some compliments on that one. We're still looking at the different types of complaints to better direct our efforts. That work is not completed. We did have a court case this month in front of the district justice, and were awarded a $500 fine in that case. And our next initiative is to do a brochure for residents about property maintenance. For the month of March, we did 31 building permit. We issued 31 building permits, one demolition permit. We had issued 26 zoning permits, did 116 building code inspections, and 15 property maintenance zoning inspections. We're still working on the official map as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. And again, May 3rd, what exactly is going to be discussed with respect to zoning?
So for May 3rd, at that Planning Commission meeting, we're hoping to give the Planning Commission kind of the construct of this new ordinance. It's different than actually any ordinance that I've seen that work in different counties. It's an introduction to the Planning Commission and any public that may want to come and see it. On May 4th, we'll be posting a draft ordinance on our website. That's giving everybody a month before the June 7th meeting to have a more in-depth conversation about more of the dynamics.
So the general public will not have access to that before the May 3rd meeting?
They will have access to that on May 4th.
That's May 4th. Okay. Very well. Thank you. Mark?
Just a reminder that we do still have our town kickoff meeting on May 3rd. It's changing locations. It will be held at the Hershey Story if anyone's interested and still has not RSVP'd. We also have Art on Chocolate coming up. That's going to be held on May 14th this year from 10 to 5. That's our one-day arts and crafts festival. We're anticipating over 130 artists this year, so it will be expanding from last year. We're looking forward to that.
That's a great initiative. Jill?
I have nothing to report. Thanks.
Thank you. Jill, anything? Very well. This time, I'd like to have approval of accounts payable in the amount of $999,247.54 and payroll in the amount of $310,014.37. May I have a motion for approval? Moved by Mr. Foley. I'll second that. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And the accounts payable and payroll are approved unanimously. This time I'd like to have a second opportunity for visitor and public comments. Again, anyone that would like to approach the podium, please do so. Please state your name and address. And if you would be so kind as to limit your remarks to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated, sir. Thank you.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a while. My name is Charlton Zimmerman, 119 North Roosevelt Avenue, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Down in Palmdale, 1300 block of East Derry Road. A few weeks ago, earlier this month, the governor signed the medical marijuana bill. And through my political contacts, which I'd rather not say how or what they are, I hear that some of the physicians in the township are very upset about it. As far as I can remember, and I haven't researched it because my computer's down, any kind of dispensing of this medical marijuana under state license would be in violation of our concurrent zoning laws. I'm just wondering if anything is going to be addressed at that to redo that zoning for dispensing of medical or marijuana paraphernalia, because I think that would fall under it. I hate to see some organization come in here to open up a business and find that the township stops them because of enforcement of an antiquated law, which most of our zoning is, I'm sorry to say, it's antiquated. And about a year ago, when Chairman Foley was chairman, he stated that he and the board, I guess he was speaking for the board, would support any kind of business coming into the township. I wondered if there's a license applied for, and don't count on the state informing you of it, because there's a liquor license, and Jill will verify it, 1319 East Chocolate Avenue, and the State Liquor Control Board has not informed the township of the application for that license. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Chuck. Anyone else? Hey, Sandy, how are you?
Hi, good. Hi, I'm Sandy Ballard, and I'm at 650 Cocoa, and I wanted to first invite you all to Bike to School Day, as we always do with the here's something, guys, pass along. You guys, in case you know some young folks. And I want to thank Jill for promoting again in the newsletter a couple times, and I know the police are planning to be there as well. And as I mentioned in the little handout, and this really was Mark Moyer's daughter, Alicia, I believe, mentioned that it's important to have a meeting place for folks who may live a little too far to safely walk or bike to school. So we have two meeting spots this year. One is at the Brownstone Lodge. Plenty of parking. Parents can put a bike on the back of their car and drive over to the Brownstone and meet with Mark Seaton, Hans Skyer, and some other volunteers, and they'll be biking to the Derry Township schools as a group. And also at the tennis courts, Wendy Lubelle and Juliet Waldron will be there. So those are two safe places to meet up. Once again, Hershey Entertainment and Resorts is donating the flashy safety lights, and Coco the Bear will be there too. The star of the show, really. And of course, a lot of cute, cute kids with cute helmets and mohawk helmets and all sorts of fun stuff. So I hope you can come out. It's always a great event. And this year, Roy Goffey, who's the new PennDOT bike and pedestrian coordinator for the state, is going to be joining us, as well as Mike Priest and George Hardwick, I know, are also going to be there. So that's my commercial for Bike to School Day. I also want to thank you, as Justin and Matt mentioned, or congratulate you on your excellent stormwater maintenance meeting. It was very well attended and a good discussion, I thought. Very well handled, and I thought it went well. And I wanted to thank, there's some of us from this small group of volunteers called Derry Cares. We care about property maintenance issues in the community. And I want to congratulate you on taking that first step of registering the vacant homes. And we, I believe that's a really good first step. Taking these steps, each small step can really make a difference. I was also delighted to learn that you, the district justice actually ruled in our favor and imposed a $500 fine. I myself have noted my favorite Hall of Shame picture is the vulture in the window from 2012. And way back in July of 2011, Chris Abruzzo was on the board and had mentioned that in the Sun, he said that storage or not, the property needs to be kept up. You and I both know you still need to have an obligation to maintain these premises, Abruzzo said to Petrino. So I was just wondering if that happened to be one of the awards we've received lately.
$2,500.
$2,500 was...
That was announced at the last board meeting. That's presently under appeal with the Commonwealth.
Sure, right, of course, he's an attorney. But that's been something that I really appreciate that you're continuing to work on that and taking the needs seriously. It's a long, hard road, but I think it can make a difference. And then lastly, I'll just share someone that Matt and I know from the Derry Environmental Action Committee had mentioned to me a big concern about trees being cut down and whether those trees, you know, the law related regarding replacement of those trees were being enforced. I know the volunteers were on it. The Tree Vitalized grant was not available this year, but I didn't know if there was some enforcement activities in regard to street trees going on with. I'm just sharing that from another resident, whether that's.
Where are they allegedly coming down at?
Just around town, there's, you know, trees that have been cut down and.
Well, we wish you'd issued lots of permits.
Okay.
And I know there's lots of permits being issued recently.
Permits to plant new trees?
Yeah.
Oh.
It goes hand in hand with the permit to remove.
Okay. Should I tell this person to call you with the addresses or email with addresses or something?
Give us a call.
Okay, great. Well, again, just want to thank you for that and encourage you to continue to do what you can to continue to promote better property maintenance in our community. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandy. Anyone else to this evening? No one further. I do note that we have several scouts in attendance this evening. Are you from the same troop? Everyone, do you have a spokesperson that would like to come forward and let us know why you're here and who you are?
My name is Alan Hallett. We are Troop 75 out of Milton Hershey School, and I'm a senior patrol leader of the troop. And we are here tonight because we have attended a local merit badge college where you can earn different merit badges. And a lot of the scouts from our troop are in citizenship in the community. And one of the requirements is to attend a local town hall meeting of some sort. And so we actually normally meet on Monday night, 7 to 8. And we couldn't meet where we normally meet tonight. So. And we saw that there was a meeting here, and it worked out perfectly, so we come, and I find it very informational or helpful and stuff, and get, you know, more involved, because I don't really, you know, get out of the Milton Hershey community, but, yeah.
They will let you out someday.
Graduation in a couple years.
So you have that?
I got it.
Well, we're absolutely thrilled to have you guys here this evening. And congratulations on being involved in scouting. It's a phenomenal program. And if you have any questions, any of you have any questions about tonight's meeting or what we discussed or our board of supervisors, please let us know, and we'll be more than happy to assist you the best we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be remiss if I didn't mention that yesterday a local Girl Scouts troop honored 72 Girl Scouts ranging in age from about 5 up to age 18, and I was honored to be a part of that ceremony along with Representative John Payne giving out certificates to 72 little girls, and I got a chance to speak to them about community service and leadership. So on behalf of the board, congratulations to all the Girl Scouts as well.
Were there any Gold Star recipients at the?
There was one Gold Star winner. Yes.
And the Gold Star Award is the Girl Scout equivalent of Eagle Scout Award. So that's a very impressive accomplishment on behalf of her, and obviously a goal to aspire to on behalf of the Scouts here today. So, thank you very much. I will entertain a motion for adjournment this time, if there's nothing further by the board members. So moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Mr. Weir, and that will conclude today's meeting. Thank you.